Today's reading is from John 15, 9 to 21. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own, because you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. Servants are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me.
Well, patriotism and love of country is not something we talk about so much here in Australia. But this morning I'm going to be talking about four things. Love of country, the challenge of discernment, giving thanks, and reconciliation. In Western society today, I wonder in what context we see the most people singing hymns together. The most people singing hymns with gusto together. If you exclude Christmas carols from the list of hymns, I think the answer is probably at international football. Well, sometime last year, I was searching for a recording of a hymn that a family wanted for a funeral, and I came across this album. It was the Lions World Tour in 2009. The songs include Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, Bread of Heaven, Jerusalem, Amazing Grace, and Abide With Me, songs that a stadium would sing together. And there's one other hymn on there, a hymn that I think is very relevant for us on Remembrance Day. Now, I love many of the great hymns, but I'm aware that not everyone in the 10:30 service does. You may not know many hymns, but I'm sure you would recognise this tune. The hymn I'm talking about has two verses. The first verse speaks of the love and commitment we have to our earthly country and the people of our earthly home. The second verse speaks of our love and commitment to our heavenly home, our commitment to serve its ultimate king. The idea that we have both an earthly and heavenly home is a really important one on Remembrance Day. The hymn I'm talking about is called I Vow to Thee. I'd like to play you part of the first verse, as sung by the British Full Rugby Squad Choir. Did you know that such a choir existed? The British Full Rugby Squad Choir singing a little bit snippet of I Vow to Thee.
I
The service of my love. We are indeed called to a service of love. That's what we heard in our reading. Jesus said, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. He was talking about himself, of course, but he was also talking about so much more. Those brave men and women who went into the battle zones of World War I were facing the prospect of laying their life down for their country, and more particularly for the people of their country. Those who have fought for our freedom had convictions about right and wrong, and a pride and a patriotism for their country. They had convictions about what it means to love our neighbour, even our neighbour in countries afar. And it includes people from this very church. As we've heard, the Feathers family farewelling 5 sons, the Tyson family farewelling 2 sons and 2 daughters, with 1 never to return, the Warburton family farewelling 4 sons and only 2 coming back. From this parish, they went to war knowing this: all the passion and love in the world would do nothing against tyranny and violent oppression unless they were willing to go into action and to put their body and their life on the line. They stood up for what they believed in. Many paid the ultimate price, giving their life for their friends. But what about peace? Would it be better if everyone just didn't fight? That's a question we have the luxury of wondering about. We, a generation who haven't faced war on our doorstep and in our backyard. When one's country is under direct attack, there is no peace. There is only defence or surrender. This idea was made clear in famous words spoken by a German, Martin Niemöller, during the Second World War. Niemöller was initially passive about what was happening in Germany. Only later did he start to speak up and, for his efforts, got put in a concentration camp. And after the war, reflected on his journey from apathy to action. He said, in Germany, they first came for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. Then they came for me, and by that time, no one was left to speak up. So love of country, love of our neighbour, can be costly. But we then move on to the challenge of discernment. We're called to abide in Christ and reflect his love, to love our enemy, to love the one in need, to love the one in distress. Working out how this should happen in the harsh realities of life is really complex. When do we turn the other cheek, and when do we defend the oppressed? When do we honour the decisions of our worldly rulers and authorities? And when do we heed the prophet's call to not stand idly by while wrong is committed? I'd love to say there's an easy answer, but there's not. It's one of those questions we need to wrestle with. We need to ask God to give us wisdom and discernment in it. It's also something where Christians might reach different conclusions. God may even call different people to different approaches in his wisdom and his providence. One of my favourite stories of World War II is told by a lady called Corrie ten Boom, a Christian from the Netherlands who hid and helped many Jews during the Second World War. Her family were eventually betrayed. She was sent to a concentration camp. This is a photo of Corrie ten Boom. She survived the war, but many in her family did not. Early on in the war, in the Netherlands, young men of fighting age were being rounded up and forcibly conscripted into the Nazi army. Well, families were working hard to hide their young men, and Corrie's family had a hiding place all worked out. Under the dining room table and the kitchen floor, they'd made a little trap door and a hole where the boys could drop into the hole, the rug would be put down, the table would be put back in place, and they would hopefully be hidden. This is the actual room in her house. The photo was taken after the war, but it's the actual room where this occurred. Well, one day during the evening meal, the front door burst open and in came 2 of the young men of the family, terrified. The soldiers were going door to door down the street and they were rounding up all the young men. They knew that young men lived in this house. Hurriedly, they pull the table, they pull the carpet, the boys jump in, the carpet goes back. They're just pulling the table and chairs into place when there's the banging on the door and the soldiers burst in. Where are your young men? Corrie had no qualms about lying. There are no young men here. There are young men here. Where are your young men? She said, look, there is women, young children, a very old man. That is all that is here. One of the young girls, the attention was getting to her, and she started to giggle. And the soldier seized upon her. Do you have brothers? The girl had been taught never to lie. Yes, she said. How old are they? They're 21, 19, and 18. Where are they? And she started to laugh even more hysterically. She said, they're under the table. Everything froze. Corrie's blood ran cold. She was furious with this girl. And then the soldier said, something to the effect of, you know, don't give me that rubbish. And where are the? And all this girl could say was, they're under the table. And so the soldier said, sit down, don't move. And they tore that place apart. Every cupboard, every shelf, they checked the floorboards, they checked everything. And the family sat as required, stationary, around the table in the kitchen. Eventually the soldiers gave up and the soldiers left. And the family was left to debrief on what had happened. Corrie was furious. Furious with this girl. How could you tell them where they were? Corrie's sister said, she told the truth. We should always tell the truth. And God honoured her truth-telling by saving the young men. Well, the family never did quite agree. I think if I was in Corrie's place, I might have been on her side of that debate. But the point of the story is that Christians genuinely seeking to follow God can come to different conclusions on some of these really complex issues. And so we need to honour where we do find differences among us. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us, for everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Now, unfortunately, the writer doesn't also tell us how to discern which time is which. That's the nature of this piece of wisdom writing. We know these different times exist, and we rely on the Holy Spirit to help us have the wisdom to recognize each season in its turn. So we've thought about love of country and love of neighbor, and we've considered the challenge of discernment. For those who discern that they should go, we come to a time of thanks. If the Anzacs and other allied forces had not gone to fight, the world would look radically different today. It would be less free and less diverse. War is ugly and terrible. But we must always be grateful to those who fought so that we would have the freedom not to. We must be grateful for those who fought so that we would have free speech to debate the merits of war. We must be grateful to those who fought so that we can have a democratic government we can criticise, debate, and vote for or against. We must always be grateful to those who fought so that we could continue to be a multicultural country of great diversity. We must always be grateful to those who fought because we cannot begin to really understand what they endured. I was once involved in a very strange funeral. You see, the man who had died was not a very nice man. He had quite a public profile that was positive, but he'd been very cruel to his family, and he'd hurt many people. His family struggled to feel sad that he was gone. Some of them felt more like relief. But he did have a public profile, and there would be a lot of people at the funeral, and the family wanted it to seem proper. They didn't want their messy family secrets made public. So someone in the family had to give a eulogy. And someone had to say nice words. And no one knew quite what to say. And then this man's son-in-law came up with a beautiful eulogy. I'll never forget hearing it. He stood up at the funeral and he listed the war service of the man who had died. He recalled the time spent in war, the countries he'd fought in. He shared how very genuinely grateful he was that his father-in-law had gone to war, that his father-in-law had been willing to fight and to suffer and to endure time in a prisoner of war camp. He thanked his father-in-law and the many other war veterans that were present at that funeral for giving him and his brothers and sisters-in-law and his children the freedom to enjoy the way of life that they had. The eulogy was beautiful and meaningful and sincere because it was true. Whatever else the man had done, he'd done something good for his family. He had helped keep their country safe and free. Today we pray for peace. We pray that we'll never have need to know, never have need to experience the horrors of war or of living in a country that is not free. But some do. Thousands of Australian men and women serve in our defence forces. They continue to protect our way of life and the lives of the oppressed in other parts of the world. Today we honour all who've served in the defence forces, those who did so in the past and those who do so today. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. We cannot stop at thanks, however, for we are called to abide in Christ and abide in love. This means that our ultimate aim, even in bitter conflict, is reconciliation. And so today we recognise the power of reconciliation. Earlier in the service, I touched on this when I spoke about visiting Verdun in France and in the war cemetery seeing the French and German flags side by side. One of the most powerful experiences in my life happened when my family was living in Germany in 2016. The British military had a strong ongoing presence in Germany long after the war ended. And so there are many long-term members of the British Defence Forces who are settled in Germany. Some of them married Germans and they now live there. And Hanover in the north of Germany is a city with a very large British community, but no permanent Anglican priest. And the Remembrance Day service in Hanover 2016 was being held on a Sunday. And because it was a Sunday, Anglican priests in other parts of the country were busy in their own parishes. I was there and I was invited to go to Hanover and lead a Remembrance Day service in the Commonwealth War Cemetery. Well, I met up with representatives of the British group who'd invited me up, and together we attended a dawn service at the German War Memorial. As you can see in the photo, both German and British ex-service people were in uniform and they stood side by side. The British flag was raised alongside the flags of the German units that were represented. I did not need to be able to follow all the words that were in the German language to feel the power of that moment. Once bitter enemies, now friends, remembering the fallen on both sides. We then proceeded to the Commonwealth War Cemetery, joined by representatives from the Germans. Here they again flew British and German flags side by side. We stood side by side and we prayed in unison. Sometimes the divisions in our world seem impossibly deep. Sometimes it seems inconceivable that there would be a way to bridge them. It seems inconceivable that there would be a way to peace or reconciliation. But we share our humanity with all peoples. The one God made us all. So when we pray for peace, we pray with genuine hope. Recalling the hymn that I played earlier, it has a second verse. The first verse was about love and commitment to our earthly country. The second is about our heavenly home. It is a powerful verse filled with hope. I'm going to play that snippet for you now.
And there's another country I've got to go.
cannot see our King, but we have a promise that he will return, for he is with us by the power of his Spirit. We follow with a faithful heart, even in those times where we suffer in the service of the Lord and suffer in following his call. The words that thrill me most from the verse are these ones: and soul by soul and silently, her shining bounds increase. Yes, I say, amen, may it be that our heavenly home continues to grow as we take the gospel out into the world. Soul by soul, our heavenly home increases. Friends and family, and even those we once counted as enemies, reconciled and healed. We have hope for the perfect peace to come. This Remembrance Day, this centenary of the end of World War I, may each of us grow in our understanding of sacrifice, of service, of gratitude and remembrance. May we abide in Christ's love and be willing to lay down our life if called by God to do so. May we give thanks for those who laid down their life for our freedom. May we pray fervently for peace, the return of the Lord Jesus, when every bow and spear and every bomb and gun will be shattered once for all. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Let us continue to worship.
Thank you so much, Susie. Well, I just want to invite Connie forward now as we continue to reflect on war and peace and reconciliation. Connie's going to lead us in a time of prayer, and after that, we'll have a time of worship.
Thanks, Michelle. Dear Lord God, you are the Alpha and the Omega. We know that all things exist because of you. Today we thank you as we remember the men and women in the armed services who have bravely and selflessly fought for our freedoms here. We remember with overwhelming gratitude those who gave their lives for us and are reminded of Jesus' words that there is no greater love than this. These men and women face the horrors of war with courage, and we should never forget their sacrifice by taking the freedom we have for granted. May the way we live our lives in a spirit of love, truth, justice, and generosity reflect our gratitude. We also remember the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. May we never take this sacrifice for granted either. We put our faith and hope in you and you alone. We are reminded that many in the world do not experience the freedoms that we often take for granted. We pray for those living under totalitarian regimes, those being persecuted for their faith, those fighting for opportunities just to work and take care of their families. Give these people wisdom and strength and courage to find a way to break through these types of bondages. Raise up godly men and women to lead these people. Melt the hard hearts of the dictators and the persecutors and the slave traffickers. May they receive your revelation and repent and start believing in Jesus. We thank you for the leaders of Oak Tree, Mark and Susie, Michelle and the others, and we thank you for their commitment and service to you and to us as a community. Please give them wisdom and discernment. Give them the energy and strength they need for the service they need. We pray for awakening coming up this next week, that all the church members that will be involved in that, again, just give them wisdom and strength as they serve you in this way. We pray for the congregation here at Oak Tree and at Emmanuel, that we would be a community of love that supports each other and bears one another's burdens, that we would be that sweet aroma to the community at large, and that our actions would reflect Jesus. We pray for our government leaders in Australia, that they would govern wisely and have the courage to do what is right. We pray that they would remember the past, that they would remember this sacrifice, and they would build on that and build bridges and not lead us to war, but try and reconcile with people within Australia and internationally. We pray that for the believers in Parliament, and especially for the PM, that they would seek your counsel and not the counsel of the world, and they would be accountable to you, and we pray that they would be a light on a hill. Help us, Lord, to take what we've learned today, to think about these sacrifices, about all that we have, that we cherish, and our gratitude. Let it soak into our minds and our souls, to let it wash over us and change us, to make us more like Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. We love you. Amen.